Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Alan Levy Show at a different time. We usually do our show 3 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern Time, and we're doing it at a different time tonight so we can accommodate our guests who work during the day, which is...
What a concept.
So anyway, welcome, everyone, to the Alan Levy Show. You're hearing this live at www.blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy, and that's the same place you could find the archive of the show. You can also find it on iTunes and all kinds of places. So let me introduce you to my co-host, Hillary. How are you?
Hi, Alan. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I mean, it's a little snowy and icy here, just like it is in L.A.
I was going to say, are you buried in snow on this broadcast or what?
Yeah, it's been brutal. The weather, I was in New York City today, had meetings, and the city just shuts down when it gets like this icy hail, and, you know, it's not fun.
Mm.
You have no sympathy, though, for me.
No, not really. It's about 66 and sunny today, so feeling good on the West Coast.
Well, great. So, listen, we have a great show tonight. We have the host of Movie Geeks, which is a very popular show on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to talk about that. These are great guys. Jamie, Chris, and Jerry, they're here with us tonight on my show. I was on their show as a guest a week or two ago, and it was terrific, and caught up with them. And we're going to talk a lot about the strike. We're going to talk about Movie Geeks, Golden Globes. We may even get a little discussion about Sasquatch. I heard that one of them had a Sasquatch living next door, so we're going to get into that. But first, before we bring them on, I just want to mention a couple of things about some exciting things going on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we posted a blog the other day that we just hit 40,000 episodes. Did you see that, Hillary?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. 40,000 episodes, I think it's just incredible, because when we launched, of course, we had no content. We were all on one page in the program guide, and now we hit 40,000 episodes. So it was a great event, and I'm really excited, and it was just something I wanted to mention tonight. And I think which it took us about 14 months to hit 40,000, I guarantee the next 40,000 will take no less than 5 months. So that should be good.
Oh, yeah. We're exponentially increasing, I should know, by the number of emails in my inbox.
Right. So Hillary's the features editor, and she determines what goes on the homepage. So this is the time of year, everyone, if you'd like to send her any kinds of presents. Feel free. You could send gift cards to hostpr@blogtalkradio.com.
Yeah, email me your gift cards, everyone.
Right, and you may want to put your show next to that, and I have nothing to do with that, actually. About if you.
I know, you don't. It's amazing. Well, you have us a little bit, but
a little.
I work very independently, so.
Not much. Anyway,
don't blame Alan.
The other thing I want to mention is that we had Governor Huckabee on tonight. Governor Mike Huckabee is running for president, as everyone knows, but what people may not know is that Huckabee has a show on Blog Talk Radio, and he was playing an instrument back in the spring. He was number 7 or number 8 of 8, and he was, you know, new into the race, and we embraced him, of course. And he came on. He was on Ed Morrissey's show, and he was doing his own show from the road. And tonight he was the guest on Ed Morrissey's show, and he's leading in Iowa. So we're very excited, and we're rooting for Governor Huckabee.
Simply because he uses Blog Talk Radio, but for no political reasons.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So let's get into our show. So if anyone would like to call into the live show tonight, it's 347-677-0649. That's 347-677-0649. Hillary, you have the chat open?
Oh, the chat is open and ready. We have some friends in there already, so we want to say hi to all our friends in the chat room. And if you want to contribute some ideas or questions for the Movie Geeks or for us, you can do so in the chat room, and we'll read them on air.
And here, thank you, Hillary. And here we go. Movie Geeks United celebrates the world of cinema twice a week, on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern and Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Since the premiere episode on April 15th, the Movie Geeks have welcomed 117 guests to their show, professionals who work in every facet of the film industry, from acclaimed film directors like Brian De Palma, and John Badham to Oscar-winning film composers like Howard Shore to actors Joe Pantoliano and Saw 4-star Lyric Bent. These guest segments are interspersed with knowledge and frequently witty banter about the latest movie news and trends. And the three of you today, Jamie, Chris, and Jerry, you're with us tonight, and welcome to the show.
We're here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's really exciting for you guys to be on. You are, we have thousands of hosts. We have 3,500 active hosts on Blog Talk Radio, and you are in the top few hosts in what you've done with this platform. So congratulations on what you've accomplished. It's amazing.
We love to hear that.
Thank you
so much.
So why don't you tell my audience and our audience where you guys are from, how you found Blog Talk Radio, and how have you been able to, in such a short period of time, bring in guests like Brian De Palma and John Badham and others?
Well, okay. My name is Jamie, and I live in Florida. And Chris and I have been best of friends for years and years and years. And whenever we get together, the conversation always revolves around film. And so that's that relationship between Chris and I. I was actually blogging movie reviews many months ago, and a show on your network at the time called The Dead Air Show liked the stuff I was writing, and so they invited me on one night and interviewed me about, I don't even recall.
The Oscars.
The Oscars, right. And during that show, Jerry, who is another fellow MySpace blogger, writes fantastic reviews. We knew of each other through our writing.
Yeah, thank you.
Called in and participated in the conversation. That was the first time Jerry and I ever had communication, and Jerry's way up there in Maryland. And so we thought, this might be good. Why don't we do our own show? And so we premiered in April, and we've worked really hard at it. And there's a whole process that we go through to get the guests that we have on. We're talking thousands of emails and kissing up to all the right people, I guess. But
lots of kissing up.
That's what it is.
You have to do that.
Yeah, but we've had tremendous success on this network, and it's all because of the user friendliness of this platform and just how accommodating all of you guys are. And Hillary is a saint with us. She's been with us for us from day one. And we can't thank her enough promoting our show. So it's been quite a ride.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the thing that's unbelievable, and I tell people, and we created this this Best of BTR page on the homepage. You take a look at it and you go to Best of BTR on the nav bar, you'll see who's been on the show. And a number of those guests were on your show.
Right.
What gave you when you were thinking about having Brian De Palma on, and this was the night before or the day before Redacted was coming out, his recent film.
Right.
Did you kind of say to each other, hey, there's just no way, right? But you gave it a shot? I mean, talk a little about that.
At first, yes, of course there's something like that. But then I guess with the tribute shows we were doing, people were responding. And
yeah.
It's really because of Jamie's determination, never giving up, that we've been able to get to this point. But yeah, at first you're like, oh yeah, I'm like, we're really going to be able to interview Brian De Palma. You don't even dare think about something like that. But come June, it's looking like a reality when we're getting some of these people on, and you're like, well, why not?
Yeah.
Why not just go for it? Why? You know, it's amazing. But it really, I have to say, the success is because Jamie's determination. Jamie just never gives up, and that's why we're at where we're at right now.
I'm a celebrity stalker, really.
Yeah,
I said it's my mission to get Jamie to move to LA and hang out with me, and I can get him all the screeners of the movies.
You're a celebrity stalker in Jacksonville.
I am just waiting for the right job, and I will be in LA in a second. I would love to be in LA.
Oh, I'm sure.
We did these two-hour tribute shows, and I'm very proud of them, where we'd bring on co-workers of De Palma and David Lynch and Al Pacino, co-stars, co-collaborators. And I think with De Palma, he is very appreciative of his fans, because his real loyal fans are few and far between, as it turns out.
Yes.
And so he really, he was aware of our show, our tribute show. And we were surprised because we heard from another person that interviewed him on several occasions at film festivals, that he would ask him each time, you were on that tribute show that they did for me, right? So he was aware of us the whole time.
Yeah.
So when we requested him, when we knew that he was doing press for Redacted, he snatched it up. He said, "Sure, I'll do it."
Incredible. And how was the show? And why don't you know, tell the audience? I mean, was he very comfortable? Were you very nervous interviewing him?
I think we understand that he's just a guy. I mean, he's incredibly talented. His work has meant so much to us, but he's just a human being.
Yeah.
So we tried to tell ourselves that like a mantra.
Yeah, until the hour before the interview.
But he was very, very relaxed, especially listening to some of the other interviews that journalists have done with him on the same film. You could tell he was very intense and very
agitated.
Agitated, yeah. And he's not known as the warmest personality in the world. But we got him to laugh. He knew that he was in the company of big supporters. Whether or not whatever our thoughts on his film was, Redacted, we wanted the opportunity to have him on just because of his body of work has meant so much to us throughout the years. 30 years of just great films.
Yeah,
I was really impressed by that, Jamie. And I wanted to say thank you for thanking me, because I consider you guys, my little pet project that kind of took off, and I'm really proud of you guys. And I do remember right at the beginning there in April when I contacted you guys about having on someone from a film festival, and I thought to myself, I think this show has a lot of potential, and I really do want them to take it and run with it. And you guys really exceeded it, my expectations beyond my wildest dreams. And when you said that De Palma was going to be on, I was so proud of you. I get these emails from Jamie, and I'm so proud. I'm really amazed and happy for you guys. But I think it's really great how you really treat your guests with a lot of respect, and you bring them on, and you are very knowledgeable and aware of what you're going to ask them. And when you said, there's a lot of controversy around De Palma's latest film, and how you said you're not going to take the live calls until you have asked and said everything you need to say, because he's not on there to be attacked or criticized, but you really want to actually get a good interview and respect him. And I thought that was a level of integrity that I was really proud to hear about.
Well, we didn't want that to seem like a cop-out, but by not taking calls, because we think that De Palma, he's had his fair share of criticism. He can take it. I mean, he's a grown-up. It's just that we have 30 minutes with our idol, and we want to get everything in that we plan to. It was an amazing experience, and yeah, the first time that we get any word on great guests, Hillary's always the first person I email, and it feels like you want to tell, one of your closest friends, guess what we got? That's the sensation I have whenever we get someone like De Palma. But yeah, that film festival, we have press credentials at the Sarasota Film Festival, and which is one of the top 10 festivals in North America. And we're going again in April to cover that. We had some great guests as a result of that. But I think that I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and what we want Movie Geeks United to be, our vision of it. And We're not a kind of trivial movie gossip show.
Not at all.
I think when you hear us, you know that we love and have a real strong passion for film. We all think the film can change the world. We hold it that dear to us. We interviewed John Badham, as you mentioned before, and he directed Saturday Night Fever. I mean, the quintessential movie of that pop culture disco era, and it's just a part of history. And then last night we welcome a documentary filmmaker. He made a movie about the Jonestown Massacre, and he was interviewing someone for his film that had seen and held his wife and infant daughter as they were dying from the poisoned Kool-Aid. And it's all about life. I mean, movies are about life for us, whether it's escapism or just examining, the truths about human nature. It's amazing, and that's the kind of passionate exchange that we strive for on the show every week.
And where did you get this? What do you do? I mean, what is your job? So, you're not in movies. I mean, you're accountants like I was.
No, God.
Chris, you want to go ahead?
Nothing that professional.
Okay.
I still don't know what Jerry does, but Chris, go ahead.
You probably haven't even met Jerry.
I haven't, no.
No, you haven't. Interesting. You're a co-host. Having on Brian De Palma, you haven't met your co-host, which is great, because I have...
That's like a lot of us, though.
I haven't met 25% of the staff of Blog Talk Radio either, so...
I think that's the beauty of it, though. I think that's what makes it all work, almost.
Yes, it does. It's fascinating.
Yeah, so, but I'm a copywriter. And so I copyright for a medical clinic, do their magazines and press releases and marketing and that sort of thing. Before that, I was at a movie theater, and I was basically the marketing manager of a movie theater. And I would win all these contests. I think I won grand prize for promoting Titanic. I would come up with these kind of grandiose marketing schemes to bring people in the theater. So that's my background, personally.
Right.
You're using that well, Jamie. You're really taking it to the next level.
It's something I love, yeah, yeah.
So what are the plans? So 2007, you had an incredible year. You had you have Lyric Bent on before he did Saw. It's what's happening with you is also what's happening with a lot of other hosts on Blog Talk Radio. We're getting into the circuit, and I think that's going to happen in the PR circuit, you know, for authors, for movies, for actors.
Yeah.
You know, an American Idol show where we had Jennifer Hudson and we had Fantasia and we've had so many of Melinda Doolittle. What do you...
We're here.
Here. sorry for that.
Well, we have three film publishing companies that work with us, so we get authors constantly. We have all the home video outlets that send us screeners and advanced DVDs all the time so we can review that on the show. I've sent out a mass email describing the show to 1,500 managers and publicists in Hollywood, New York, and they're all aware of us. And we're at a special place now where we're no longer having to ask for guests. These past few weeks, they've been booked for us by the publicists and managers without us
having to turn guests away, actually.
Okay, so here I have a suggestion. And the fly lady, if you're in the chat room, she's on in the chat room. She writes a question, can we get them to get us guests? So the fly lady, who you may have seen on our homepage, she's our top host and amazing Marla Silly, she's the fly lady. We do a show together Tuesday nights, and we're looking to book great guests.
Right.
And she just posed the question, can you help us get some guests? And you may be able to help us book guests for the network and some of the top shows. That would be wonderful if you could.
That would be great.
That would be.
If you want, do you want to make me a Blog Talk Radio executive right now? That would
sure,
be great.
Sure, right now.
You want to hire him on the spot?
Alan, I could use some help.
Right, okay.
And you're in L.A., so it's perfect.
But do I have to hire all three of you?
Package deal.
Package deal. The package
right.
deal.
That's a little too rough for me at this point in time, but maybe we could work something out.
Well, I have all the contacts for all the publicists and the,
right.
Like,
so that would be great. So we've even
got Sundance. We contacted the Sundance publicist, and they're hooking us up with interviews with those filmmakers leading up to the Sundance Festival in January.
Oh, that's great.
That's going to be great.
And there's no telling what we're going to do for the Oscars and for our 1 year anniversary. And we've got some ideas. We're trying to get and. I think I can say this. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to succeed, but we're trying to get Kathy Griffin to do a pre-show Oscars with us.
Oh, she's hilarious, right?
That would be hysterical. And
oh,
what
yeah.
could be more D-list than being on Movie Geeks United?
Movie Geeks. And how'd you come up with the name Movie Geeks? Because Geeks is generally referred to as a technology geek.
Not really.
Yeah.
No?
Not anymore.
I guess maybe you're right. I know that Best Buy has the Geek Squad.
Right. Right.
It's just people that are really into what they're doing, you know,
yeah,
that they know
that
everything
Hillary's
about
right.
it.
Hillary's absolutely right.
It kind of describes our obsession. I mean, I don't know, obsessive compulsive movie addicts. I don't know that would work better.
No,
than
right.
This right now, this is the best name we could come up with.
I like the name, and it's good for Blog Talk Radio. It's perfect.
Okay.
Because this is a network of geeks.
It could easily have been, you know, movie nerds united or movie dorks united. There's always there's people that love movies, and then there's people like us that, like, every time movies come up in conversation, you know, you'll talk about movies with somebody, and then the conversation turns towards something else. Well, the three of us, we just want to continue to talk about movies all
right.
the time.
Yeah.
It's all we think about, so yeah, it was kind of natural to go with movie geeks. So.
Yeah.
It has a better flow to it.
And the exclamation mark at the end of our title also adds a little flair.
Okay.
There's a lot of energy there. No, someone in the chat room, actually Shannon, who works for Blog Talk Radio, said, geeky is the new sexy. So maybe that goes for you guys.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll take it.
So have you done any shows, or would you like to do shows where you'd have, I mean, think about this dream show, Scorsese, De Niro, and or someone talking about Goodfellas, or getting three actors on one show, or two actors talking about it, having a panel discussion about it, you know, like the things Larry King does. I mean, this is a platform you could do these types of things.
We would like to do that. We sort of did that with we had a themed show for the Big Lebowski.
We did with Blair Witch, too. I mean,
Blair Witch, that's right.
We had a reunion of the directors and one of the cast members on the 8th anniversary of Blair Witch, which is this, talk about a phenomenon.
Yeah,
I pushed that one big time. That was really cool, the first reunion of that. I thought that was awesome. Especially because in the digital world, I mean, that was the first, you know, digital video film, really,
right.
and doing it online is great.
And we're leading up to the Oscars, we have an idea that we're going to take previous Oscar-winning Best Pictures, and the first one we're going to do is Cuckoo's Nest, and we're going to have a reunion of cast members from the films. And we've already booked some people from The Deer Hunter, which is another Best Picture. In terms of, like, dream guests, I mean, Chris, you told me what your dream guest would be. What was that?
Well, the kind of guests that I really want to have on, obviously I'd love to have people like Scorsese or De Niro on, but the kind of people that I want to have on the show are the guys that can really just talk endlessly and in a very entertaining way about movie history. You know, guys like Kevin Smith, people that you can just tell stories
really
interesting, and John Waters is another one who,
yeah.
I'm not crazy about his movies, but the guy is so fascinating when he talks about not just his own movies, but other people's
mm-hmm.
movies. And
yeah.
And every time I see him in an interview, I think, man, why aren't they asking him about this? Those are the kind of guys I'd like to have on, those hilarious storytellers.
I'm shooting for Pacino, actually. He has a movie with De Niro in the summer. And I don't know if I could get them both on, but wouldn't that be a coup? But
that would be the greatest coup.
You wouldn't know that De Niro's on the show even if he is, because he never talks. But Pacino's actually very talkative. So that would be my number one.
Does he do interviews?
He does. More and more so he does. He's really kind of opened up in his old age.
Yes, he has. He really has.
And it's hard to shut him up now, which is great. And we did a tribute show to him, so hopefully he'll be convinced to do our show.
Yeah.
I remember early on, I don't know if you were around, when Jason did his show with Oliver Stone.
I did.
Yeah, you remember that.
I did, yeah.
And I was amazed. You know, again, creating this platform and having people like De Palma or Oliver Stone, and I couldn't believe it. I don't know, Hillary, were you in here then?
Oh, yeah, I was here.
You were here. And I think you emailed me or somebody, Oliver Stone is coming on. I said, you can't be. And this young guy, Jason, that's really the only show he did. He's like the band Boston. You know, they had that one album. And we never heard from Jason again, but he did a lot. Everything he did about was Oscar. I think his show was called Oscar.
Yeah, Jason O'Brien. He does still do shows, but I think that was the only show he had with a guest. And he made a website for Oliver Stone, so he had the opportunity to meet with him.
Oliver Stone was his idol.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember listening. I was so excited that he was on, and I'm listening to the show, and he was very nervous, and he started the show, and around 8 or 9 minutes in, he says, because he had this big lead on for Oliver Stone. He says, I'm going to bring Mrs. Stone on now, and hi, Mrs. Stone. Hey, how are you? And Oliver Stone gets on this very low voice, and he says, oh, Mr. Stone, it's such an honor to have you on my show. He says, hey, this is radio. You sound like a real radio guy.
Yeah, your voice, the tone of your voice changes when you do radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was classic, and Oliver Stone was on Blog Talk Radio, and it's just an amazing thing. And he was so excited.
Yeah.
And that must be how you feel. I know a lot of the hosts that are talking to their idols and so on. And so why don't we move on to what's happening currently in the strike, and how does that affect what's happening in the movie space? And let's talk a little about the Golden Globes, which you said I understand were announced today.
Yeah,
that's true. Jerry, you want to start off with a strike? Or?
Yeah, let's start off with the strike. I mean, it keeps getting updated. I think the latest thing is that they're going to go ahead, the producers are going to start negotiations with the Directors Guild, because they want, now the rationale, as I heard, is that they want to give the Writers Guild more time. But this is what I hear with the Writers Guild, is that this, the strike may go on until June.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a whole year. I mean, that's just, you know, we're going to, I said, as we talked about before the show, you know, we're going to be watching the Gladiators come February on TV.
TV is the form that is most immediately affected, and we can see that now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to have the sweeps period anymore for some of these shows, because these shows aren't going to be written
right
in time. And there's also on TV, you got to think about the award ceremonies too. I mean, we're talking about Golden Globes and the Oscars; those shows have to be written.
They are right now affected.
Yes, and so unless they make an exemption, which they very well might for these two award shows, I don't know if they'll happen or not, televised. Movies, we're going to see the effects of this a little bit further down the line, but in terms of what's happening in California, this is their bread and butter. We've had guests on the show testify to this. You have delicatessens shutting down that have been open for 50, 60 years because their business came from the writers and the people in the studios that came to lunch there, you know.
Yeah.
It's very widespread, and it's not going to end anytime soon, unfortunately.
Well, a big reason why it's not going to end is you don't have anyone like Lou Wasserman, who brokered the deal the last time. You have
yeah.
no one like him right now, and it doesn't seem like on either side there's anyone interested. They're both very trenched in, and, you know, like we said, we don't know when this thing's going to end.
Right. Let's take a call, and then we'll get back into it. Let's
sure.
see. We've got 817. You're on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Good. How are you? What's your name?
Oh, this is John. I'm a big fan of these guys, man. I mean,
oh, John,
I
yeah.
every single podcast, you know. I mean,
John from the
John.
Dead Air Show.
Oh, please. I'm not here to promote myself. That's your own.
John from the Dead Air
for
Show.
This.
Yeah, it's great, your show. But there's not much talking, right?
See, there,
oh,
you
there
should,
you go.
You,
there
you,
you go.
You should be, you know, you and a rubber chicken and a bicycle horn.
Well, we
you and I,
John,
we'll
big,
do some stuff together. Now these guys,
big debt.
you
were the one who said, you were the one who emailed me and Jamie the day after I called in, and you said, hey, you guys have a really good thing going. Have you thought about doing your own show? I would never have thought about that.
Yeah.
And you were the one
you
who you were the spark.
It's all you, baby.
Yeah.
I'm the spark.
You're the spark, the divine spark.
What's happening with the Dead Air Show?
Not much right now. It's currently in I guess we're on strike two. You know,
there's a writer strike going on.
we could lie and say that's what it is, but no, we're working on some stuff. So you know, you haven't heard the last of us. Let's give you that. But
well,
no, seriously, I mean, this is their interview. I mean, I really wanted to call and say that, you know, there is a reason why I sent an email and said you guys should consider doing your own show. We had these guys on. I think Jamie, it's been a while. Jamie probably came across a blog I wrote about movies and, you know, gave me an invite. And I subscribed and just, I mean, the information and the craft and the love that he put in his blogs, we invited him on the show, you know, to talk about movies and you know, he told me that he wasn't sure if you know, it would translate, you know, from blog. And the guy, I mean, we've had comedians, we've had different guests on our show, and he has been the easily the, you know, the most laid-back interview, the most prepared with, you know, everything that he wanted to talk about and passionate, that it was easy to call him and say, hey, you guys need to do your own show because, you know, you're wasting your time on mine.
You cannot believe how nervous I was calling it to your show.
And you know what? You would not believe that by listening to it, which is, you know, the God's honest truth.
Yeah.
So you guys, besides Ain't It Cool News, I mean, I go to the podcast. I find some. I didn't see the Speed Racer trailer until the first time was on your blog.
Right. Well,
which I have to throw this out. Very, very scary looking. I mean, it looks like. I mean, John Goodman in a cartoon translation didn't work too well the first time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm a little worried about that. So I mean, that's a digression. You brought the monkey in. You don't bring the monkey in.
They brought the monkey in, man.
Well, I don't know. You know, I could be pleasantly surprised, or you know, who knows?
That's just it. You never know, man. The trailers can be deceiving.
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
Well, Wachowski's, you know, missing a penis. That's what happens. You know, maybe that's where all the creative energy was. Maybe that's where it got locked off.
I think you're right.
Well, yeah, that might be over some people's heads.
I think so.
No, I got that one.
So thanks for calling.
The internet is a vast and wonderful place. Google it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Appreciate it.
Hey, I love you guys.
Thanks
for
calling.
Great, very proud of you.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, John.
So one of the things I wanted to mention with the strike is that the problem, I mean, there's many problems and complications with it, but it's clear that the writers and directors, or the writers, let's say, are looking to get a piece of this new media puzzle.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, but the challenge for the executives and the companies is that they don't understand it. They don't know what the new media puzzle is all about. They're getting hit on every side. There are companies like, you know, Blog Talk Radio, for example, which were disruptive to the radio industry or to podcasting or to other media concerns.
Right.
They don't know what's happening. There's just, you know, between YouTube and these other sites, they can't sort it out. And I think it's hard to commit to a certain share or allocation when you don't know the facts. I mean,
right.
Did they get that?
It wasn't only the new media. It was also about DVD residuals, which the Writers Guild mm-hmm. supposedly took out at the last minute. They took that off the table, which I thought was foolish, and they just focused on new media. The problem is no one's made money off, or no one knows how yet to make money off of the new media. No one's figured out how to do it. I mean, Michael Eisner said he wouldn't have had this strike until 3 years from now because he says, look, I'm not even making money off it.
Right.
Barry Diller, I don't think, is making money yet from it.
Yeah.
So
no,
it's
a problem.
Very complex.
It's very complex.
At the same time, if you don't have writers, you don't have anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you're lost.
They should have focused, I think, on the DVD residuals, and I think everyone could have agreed for better for the writers, especially on the DVDs. They certainly deserve it,
it's hard to quantify what it's going to be like, but I was going to say when you said the delis were going out of business, I live about four blocks from CBS Studios
mm-hmm.
and about a half a mile from Paramount, and basically, I see the strikers anytime I leave my house, you know, to go to the bank or to do whatever. And I went to Subway the other day, and it was filled with the strikers getting sandwiches, you know, midday. So the delis are going out of business, but not the little sandwich shops. But it is incredibly complex, and it's interesting in Los Angeles because people's opinions on the issue are very diverse. You know, you really never know what opinion you're going to get because it is complicated, and I think there's a lot of terms that people don't understand, and like Alan said, the new media puzzle is unknown even to those who are in the middle of it, so it's hard to know, but yes, I think it is garnering a new appreciation for the writers and the talent that they bring.
But here's the thing, so you have companies, let's use Blog Talk Radio as an example. Blog Talk Radio is a company that was built on, you know, without any particular license or whatnot, that we don't pay for our content. We don't pay for our marketing. We have a very, you know, this is a totally democratized environment. The hosts participate, and now we're beginning to run ads and turn it into a commercial enterprise. Look how easily we can compete. And then look at also the content we've been able to accumulate. Not just your show, but all the shows that come in. And then you have these existing companies that have enormous budgets and enormous infrastructures of cost for content, for salaries, for the movie stars. And you're finding reality TV shows blowing things away like American Idol. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the number one selling TV show in England is Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just reality TV. So the model's broken. And I don't know, it's going to be a real challenge.
Reality TV even has writers. I mean, that's the true kind of catch-22 of reality TV is they're called producers, but they're really right. I mean, no reality TV show is unscripted. They have events that are planned and everything.
Sure.
And they're just not part of the guild. So they kind of get shut out of this whole dialogue, which is another interesting thing. But, you know, I don't want to see all reality TV from now until, you know, the end of time. So
no, no one does.
Gets revolved.
No, I hope no one does.
There are certain TV, you know, that's why I'm a movie snob and not a TV snob, because a lot of TV, for me, is just, it's intolerable. But there are some really good television, and I think HBO leads the pack with their programming.
Right.
But in terms of film, you're seeing more and more the television mentality in film. I think it's really affected, you know, the pace of the movies that you see now that are flooding the marketplace. And I long for, you know, more kind of intelligent, not quite so dumbed down cinema.
Well, it's still intelligent. It's just coming out of the smaller, the independent and the foreign films for the most part, sadly. It's not coming from the studios.
American Gangster, that just recently came out, I don't know if you guys reviewed that on your show, was terrific.
Yes.
That was very good. And you're in that time of year, Alan, where you're getting the smarter films from the studios.
Right.
But I wanted to go back to the writer's strike, though. You see, there's a misconception about the writers and about the actors. A lot of people, unfortunately, think that most writers or actors make a lot of money. Sadly, extra actors, it's a secondary job for a majority of them. This is not how they make their living. They go from gig to gig. Writers, it's paycheck to paycheck, especially in television. They're not all multi-million dollar writers. So,
and that's the ego at work here, too,
Yeah. Because
the executives are saying, hey, we'll last as long as you can hold out because we're not going to lose our houses over this. You are.
But they might, in the long run, lose their houses.
But that has been said. I mean, that's the kind of mentality that they came to the table with.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of, they don't understand. I mean, the business plans are evolving. You know, you're in the YouTube world. Everything's for free. The web is a profitless society,
And
it's a problem.
And they're scared. The Viacom lawsuit against YouTube is a prime example of that. And the this week on Vivid Entertainment went after all the free adult websites offering their content for free. It's going. I mean, they're scared. The old companies, the old men in the armchairs, are very scared. And this is the only way they know how to hold on to that.
Which is ironic, because I went after everything related to Vivid Entertainment last week, too.
All right, so let's talk about top movies for each of you. Can you name, your number one movie of all time?
Wow. I'll lie and say something, but...
Chris, why don't you take
question.
That first?
One number one movie of all time. I know it's tough, it's brutal, but... I mean, if you want, you can give two.
Give him a minute to think about it, Alan, and we'll talk about it.
All right, I'll ask you first then, Hillary. Let them think. Hillary, give me your number
okay,
one.
Okay, well,
give
listen.
Give me your number one and number two.
As a confirmed movie geek myself, I know how hard that question is to answer, but I will tell a little story while they're thinking about it. So I saw a movie the other day, and actually my roommate works for The Hollywood Reporter, and he gets a lot of screeners early. So luckily, I also get to watch them before they come out, and I saw the movie Juno before it came out.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Exactly. And so I thought to myself, right after I saw it, I had a lot of mixed emotions because it was a complicated movie. I was impressed by it. I was a little frustrated by it, but it was just new. It was a new experience to me, and the first thing I thought after I turned off the movie was, I got to email Jamie and see what he thinks about this movie. So I turned off the TV, I went over to my computer, and I sent an email out to Jamie saying, okay, I just saw Juno, what do you think? What's your opinion on Juno? You know, I know you're going to have something great to say about it. And he wrote back saying he hadn't seen it yet, and I was so sad that I said, well, as soon as you see it, please email me back.
I tell you what, I have a mailing address if you want to see that screener.
Oh, no, I should have swiped it for you. It was a good moment for me because it was kind of the tying up of loose knots in my life. I was like, I have no one to talk to about this movie. Oh, wait, I have all these people to talk to that I've never met before, but that I talk to online all the time. So I sent out the email. So that was a nice little cyber, you know, warm moment for me.
Yeah, that was very nice. It was a very nice email to get from you.
Okay, so now that you've had time to think after that nice story from Hillary, good filler, Hillary.
Chris, you want to chime in with your favorite movies?
Yeah, Hillary's right. That's, you know, it's an impossible question to answer. But if I had to answer, if someone had a gun in my face, I would say Jaws, probably.
Jaws.
That's one of those movies.
That's a great one.
Okay.
It never gets old. But I
never.
Know, I watch it all over and over again, and it's still, like, so much of everything Spielberg's done, it's funny, and it, like, really works on a human level. You can understand what they're going through, and it's scary, and everybody loves the movie. It never gets old.
Yeah.
It's timeless. How is that movie still so good every time you watch it and so effective? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Long Island, and we lived on the beach, and this was very, you know, that summer, I remember that summer when it came out, we would just, you know, parents weren't letting their kids go swimming. It was that powerful. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. We got one. That's Jaws. Okay. Any others?
Amy?
Well, I feel kind of guilty because they're not classics, you know.
Oh, that's a dumb... Oh, don't
be
ridiculous. Stop being a snob. And
I do like classics like 8 1/2 and lots of stuff from the 70s, but actually my two favorite movies are... Born on the 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
and Wild at Heart.
Oh, you couldn't. Those are good.
And because when I watch a movie, I want to feel something. And I have never been so moved by a film as I was with Born on the 4th of July. And Wild at Heart just seems to, for me, it opened up the possibilities of cinema. I know a lot of people that despise that film, but the movie is everything. It's a David Lynch movie. It's a horror movie, it's a comedy, it's a romance, it's
a road
musical.
Movie.
Who was
road
in that
movie.
Again?
And it's just a world that you've never seen before. And I never knew you could make a movie like that. I hadn't even considered, you know, it just opened up a world of possibilities in my mind. And you could point to little, you know, this is wrong, this doesn't quite work. But as a whole, I mean, it's phenomenal for me. And no movie has influenced me or inspired me as much as that one. So that's what I'll go with.
Well, you got to get to, and who directed that film?
David Lynch, and we've already done that tribute, and I have gotten a no from David Lynch 3 times.
Really?
Yeah. They'll say he's tired of doing interviews, and then the next night I'll see him on TV doing an interview.
Okay. Well, we'll...
He spoke at my college, actually.
Okay, so
about
now
transcendental meditation, right?
We've got
Jaws. About deep meditation, exactly.
Yeah.
Jaws, Born on the 4th of July, Wild at Heart. Okay, who's up?
It's me, Jerry.
Jerry.
Okay, I'm going to pick 2 films since Jamie picked 2 films.
Yeah.
I don't think we can do much better than Jaws, though, personally. But
yeah.
We are going to go with 2 films that I initially saw younger and originally on video and then saw in the theaters re-released, New Prince. And the first one is Sergio Leone's Once Upon a Time in the West with Charles Bronson, which is just a fantastic mythological look at the Western. And it's not the original butchered version that came out in the late 60s, but the uncut version, it's a phenomenal film.
How badass is Henry Fonda in that movie?
Dude, he is... Oh, man. Gary Oldman in The Professional has nothing on him.
No, who knew Henry Fonda had something like that in him? Like, and a lot of people, it's unfortunate, a lot of people don't know that movie, you know, everyday movie watchers,
yeah.
But he's fantastic. Jason Robards, too, I might add.
Oh, hey, he's very good as Cheyenne. He's great.
Just the music itself is iconic.
It is iconic. It's the first time they actually wrote the music before the film.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other one, it's another Western. I was not growing up a big Western person. I don't even know it's fair to call either one of these really Westerns, because I think they both transcend the genre, is Sam Peckinpah's The Wild Bunch.
Yeah.
And that film really was a revelation to me. It's and you could say it's William Holden is playing against type in that film, too, towards the end of his career. And it is the movie that, if you watch on the Coen Brothers' No Country for Old Men, it is the closest I've seen to a Peckinpah film since Peckinpah has passed away.
Yeah.
It embodies all of that. But Wild Bunch is simply about men who have outlived their usefulness and their times, and the shootout at the end inspired everything that came after it.
It really did, and it changed movies.
Yes.
I mean, you can look at Wild Bunch and everything that came after it, and you can really see it started with Wild Bunch. It's Wild Bunch, Bonnie and Clyde.
That's right.
Yeah, a whole different kind of anti-hero, a whole kind of realistic way of portraying violence. It's a lot dirtier than you'd been used to before.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was the only movie Sam Peckinpah was sober and straight for during the production.
Really?
Yes.
Fascinating. Okay. Well, that's.
I was going to ask you guys about No Country for Old Men because I thought that was pretty flawless in terms of its captivating quality.
I can't think of anything wrong with it.
We haven't seen There Will Be Blood yet, and we keep hearing that There Will Be Blood is the next Citizen Kane. But so we're going to reserve our final
reserve time. That until we see that one.
But there've been great
for Old Men was not. I was not. It was a powerful film, of course, but so gory, and it was just to me, it was just over the top.
Which one?
Oh, No Country for Old Men.
I think it was conducive to that world. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think it was anything outside of what you could believe these people were capable of.
I was disappointed with Tommy Lee Jones because it wasn't his character was not the typical Tommy Lee Jones. And then when you leave the theater and you say, well, what's the name of this movie? And it's No Country for Old Men. It was perfect. That was his role, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was done.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it anymore.
And you know that last scene that a lot of people talk about being so abrupt, and it is a different kind of tone from the rest of the movie, but it's touched me so much.
It does.
It all of a sudden all came into light. That's what this movie's about. And it's all right there in the title. And you're right. And Tommy Lee Jones is a national treasure. I mean, he really...
The last three movies he's been in have really, I think, put him in a notch above a lot of other people. I mean, he's been incredible in the last three films.
He can hold the screen. He doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah, he's great. And, okay, so, Hillary, are you going with Juno, or is that just, you were just filling time?
That was, I think.
Well, no. Hey, this stems off of what the geeks were talking about.
Do you want another shot at this, Hillary, or are you going to go with Juno?
No. Just in terms of these great kind of smaller movies coming out right now.
I know.
There's a bunch of them, and I'm really impressed, actually. I'm really moved. I saw Lars and the Real Girl the other day, too.
Yeah.
That's a great film.
It is. I laughed and I cried at the same time.
Yes.
It was unreal.
And he got nominated
this morning
for a Golden Globe for that.
Yes.
As
I'm
did
so
you.
Excited.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go then. So mine is The Godfather. That's Godfather 1.
That's a given with me. I don't even need to list that as a favorite. That's just a given. It's part of my DNA.
Yeah,
it's part of my DNA. It's not even a movie. It's a way of life.
I saw it the... it's always on, and I was watching it the other night, and the scene that I love is when he's in the hospital, and Michael is there, and that's when Michael became Michael, right? Michael Corleone.
Right.
And the friend comes in with the flower, and the little flower, and he says, and he goes, and he gets in the middle of this thing, and he's shaking, and Michael just grew up at that point. It's just an unbelievable scene, and they wheeling him out. I mean, that movie to me was just remarkable.
Talk about the biggest challenge for an actor, or what makes a great performance, and it is always the arc of the character. And there's no finer example of that than Pacino in the first one, and then in the arc in all three of them, really.
Mm-hmm.
But that first one, he changes before your eyes. You know, he's this idealistic, patriotic young person at the beginning, and he's cold-hearted, black-eyed, power-hungry at the very end. I mean, it's an amazing, and you don't see it happening. You don't see
that
the
scene
real-
though. Did it that scene when he went to the hospital.
That's it. Yeah.
And that was the transformation, and you very rarely will see that kind of that shift, and that's what I sense. I mean, that was it, and he did it.
Yeah.
It
wasn't when he was in the restaurant and he shot the guy. The scene in the hospital is when that transformed Michael Corleone.
I agree with you, and it's all about Coppola in that movie. The reason why that film works is because he, first of all, is brilliant with casting, because everyone he cast for that movie, the studio vetoed. They wanted Redford, they wanted Ryan O'Neill, they wanted anyone except Brando and Pacino.
Really?
Yeah. They wanted it cast. They wanted The Godfather to be played by Redford, I think.
And Warren Beatty and Ryan O'Neill. Those were all two.
That was it. But Coppola, it's important that he is Italian himself. I mean, that's in his very marrow, you know. And you can feel it in that movie. It's a a world, it's a perfectly realized world, and it's a powerful theme about fathers and sons and family.
Oh, yeah, that's why it works. It's the family element. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just started an entire list of so many great movies like Goodfellas and and of course, you know, just so many is amazing. So excellent, and we've been chatting with movie geeks on Blog Talk Radio on the Alan Levy Show. It's been a great time. We have a few more minutes. If anyone would like to call, please do. It's the call-in number is 347-677-0649. I see a note in the chat room that Fly Lady wants these guys with me. She says, "I want these guys with me next time I play Trivial Pursuit." I mean, you're just real students of the movies. Is that just your passion your whole lives, I would think, right?
Yeah.
Part of it. I wouldn't say my whole life, but it's definitely, it's always been there. It's always been there in the background from as long as I can remember. I'm 37, I would say since at least the age of 4 or 5.
Do you guys ever consider going into the movie business in some capacity?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Yes, and there have been, like, several failed attempts, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, me too. I mean, I write. I still constantly write, and I've acted a lot, done a lot of theater acting in the past, so I have a great, but this is my passion. I mean, movies, I have the people I love in my life, and then there are movies.
Yeah.
That's it.
Did you see Roger Ebert lately and on TV?
He was very ill, wasn't he?
Very ill, and he's—I don't know—it's just terrible. I saw him recently some sort of shot, and he just was so ill. It's so sad.
But I mean, he does not have the power of speech, but he still can write,
and
that's
still
his,
writing great stuff.
That's his great gift. I mean, he is a great writer. I mean. Look beyond the thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, and he still has that. He still delivers the reviews every week, which
mm-hmm.
is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had a movie. We had the gentleman. I think we talked about this, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, when I was on your show.
Mm-hmm. Bostwick.
Yeah, Barry Bostwick was on, which was
right.
which was incredible. So anyway, we have another call. Let's take that. 415, you're on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy, how are you?
Hi, Tracy.
Is that Shannon?
No, it's Hillary.
Oh, hi, Hillary, sorry.
Hi, how are you?
Do you have
how
a question
doing?
For our guest tonight?
You guys are, you know, talking about, you know, American movies. What about European movies? Do you have any favorites?
Oh, tons. Well, give me a country.
UK.
UK, The Last Stomp, I mean, well, what kind of, well, let's be a little bit more specific. Old or new, or it doesn't matter?
60s.
Oh, 60s, like Get Carter, all the British gangster films from that era.
Yeah.
All the mob films, all the swinging 60s, anything with Julie Christie or Terrence Stamp.
I love Julie Christie and Dirk Bogarde.
Oh, Dirk Bogarde, wonderful. I liked him, actually, this is going to kind of sound kind of weird, but I actually liked him in the movie The Night Porter.
Oh, he's great in that.
Night Porter, what a movie that was, man. Wow.
He's in a couple of other favorites of mine, Darling and Sebastian.
Darling is a wickedly good movie.
Wicked.
Wickedly good. And I'm so happy to see Julie Christie got a Golden Globe nomination for Away From Her. Which
she's
phenomenal.
Absolutely stunning, isn't she? I mean, she's still so beautiful and translucent.
My husband always was obsessed with her as a kid.
Some of us are still obsessed.
From the shampoo, from the movie Shampoo, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And Dr. Zhivago, and she was in just tons of great movies.
I like. Dude, we actually did a show about. We actually did a show paying tribute to Bergman and Antonioni, because they passed on the same week, and so that show is in our archives, and it's a great one if you want to listen to that one. And we're going to do a tribute show to Akira Kurosawa in the next month or two as well. That's one of my favorite international filmmakers.
Yes.
What do you think of the movies like Oh, Lucky Man and If?
Lindsay Anderson's trilogy, and followed by Britannia Hospital. Those films are, especially If, the ending of If. I saw that, I think when we first got a VCR, this was in junior high, and I saw If, and that left a vivid impression on me. And then Oh, Lucky Man with Ralph Richardson and Malcolm McDowell. I mean, you just, those movies, I don't know if you can't recreate some of those British films because they're, like Lindsay Anderson, incredible intellectual, but also incredible, wicked black sense of humor. You can't recreate that stuff. It was just so influential for its day, and I think it's important for people who especially only know Malcolm McDowell from like the Halloween remake or even A Clockwork Orange to check some of these other films out because he's phenomenal in that trilogy.
My mother-in-law is in those films.
Really? What part?
Oh, she always plays the, the head of the hospital or the head maid.
Right. Okay.
She was in My Fair Lady. She played the woman who was in charge of Henry Higgins' house.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
I was.
Well, you know, somebody's got to fill those roles.
Yeah. No. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a movie about killer gorillas in a research lab. I played a kid on a bicycle that was late for college class. That's my claim to fame right there. It's,
my voice is on a bunch of films.
That's great.
Nine and a half weeks, I did all the orgasm sounds.
Oh.
I'm sure I know your work.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm done. But
no,
I actually have some lines in that film, but I won't go into it.
Oh,
but thanks so much. I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you,
Tracy.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
That's great.
Bye. I'm glad she asked that because I thought about foreign films, and I do remember the tribute shows, but you are primarily American cinema based. Is that correct?
We do. I mean, we'll get up on tangents. I mean, and Jerry is an encyclopedia of knowledge, really, more so than Chris and I. But we all three go on tangents, and we can reference the most obscure kind of 1920s foreign Russian
fight. Yeah, I mean, it's just there. It's just like, you know, with the guest, the person who called in, you know, I knew that, I guess that's what we wanted to get at, those films, I guess. And when you think of British films, I'm automatically going to, I don't know, I tend to veer towards the 60s and even the 50s,
yeah.
And, or David Lean films for that matter. So
I thought the performance last year of the Queen was amazing.
Yeah, it really was, and that was the show. Chris and I were talking about this tonight because we were talking about the Globes and how there's not necessarily a front runner this year like there was last year.
Last year, he had all five nominations. I could have gone with any five of those.
But last year, you knew basically Forrest Whitaker, Best Actor, Helen Mirren,
yeah,
Best Actress.
You did. You're right. I mean, but I could have gone with any of them this year. I don't know.
Yeah, they're really scraping the barrel.
They're not scraping. Well, I don't know why you would pick Jodie Foster for the Brave One. That I don't get at all. But
yeah, did anyone see that even?
Yeah.
I mean, did anyone see that? Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you know, we saw it, but that and I have to say that Kate Blanchett is in the sequel to the Queen to Elizabeth, which is, you know, I have to say is at best a mediocre movie.
Yeah, but she also has a nomination for I'm Not There, and she's playing
Bob
Dylan.
Yeah, and that's more an ensemble. I would have to say I would nominate everyone for that. It's not, she's great, but we know she's great. Everyone's really, I mean, Christian Bale is phenomenal in that film.
Yeah.
And
which
that's
one,
great,
Batman?
That's
Batman.
Right.
Is,
I love Batman.
Yeah, but he is.
No, really, the latest Batman was on.
No. He's,
hey, was that him, by the way?
In that, but Christian Bale is really snubbed. He was in three good films this year, and he didn't get any recognition so far.
Well, the sequel to Batman will be out during the summer, this coming
right.
summer.
Was Christian Bale in the last Batman?
Yes.
He was, yes.
That was an amazing movie.
Yes, it was.
Well, think about this. Think about the role he did prior to Batman was a movie called The Machinist.
He lost all that weight.
And he weighed something like 80 pounds in that movie.
Oh.
And you looked at him and you worried for his life.
And then he bulked up.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you say, don't do that for your art. I mean, you're killing yourself.
It's amazing.
And then 8 months later, he went on the Batman set, and he was all buffed up, and he's an incredible actor.
Yes.
I mean, a De Niro range
yeah.
there.
Well,
American
we have,
Psycho.
We have another one more minute remaining. But this is a lot of fun. We just had a
yeah, I don't want to end it. I'm having so much fun, Alan. Do we have to go?
Yeah, we have to go. But there's, you've just made a new big fan, guys. The Fly Lady has been chatting with me, and she's wants to friend, you know, add to you to our friends. You know, the Marla has something like 450,000 friends. So
we could use some of those listeners that she has.
Yeah, and she, you know, so I'll talk to her, and she thinks you guys could really educate people, and that's great. And you guys are great, and I appreciate you being on the show and being part of Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we're honored. Thank you.
It's going to be a very exciting year coming up, and you guys are right in the thick of it. Just reach for the stars, and you'll get it. So thanks
again.
Thank
you, sir.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for joining us. Appreciate
it.
Thank you,
Hillary.
Thank you, Hillary.
That was Jamie, Chris, and Jerry from Movie Geeks, and we're just about signing off, so I'll play the bumper.
Okay.
Thanks for joining Alan and Hillary on the Alan Levy Show. Make sure to join the conversation by calling 347-677-0649 and listen to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio.